Good morning, welcome and Happy New Year everybody. It's great to see you and great to have you here. So whether you're here in person, and there are a few, or whether you're watching online or video or even listening on the phones, I don't know whether still anybody listens on that, but it's great to have you with us today. And just considering that little opening video, it's very small, very short, but I'm sure many of us want to pray that 2021 will be better than what 2020 was. And you know, we need to allow God to pull it together. It's like making that jigsaw. Thanks, Rich. It's like seeing that jigsaw coming together. God will pull the puzzle together for us. We can trust him. And that's going to be the theme of our service. He is the Lord. He is that Lion of Judah, which that image of the lion represents, and we can trust him to bring his plan and his picture into being and into completion. Yes? Hello? You can talk to me? You're right, yes. So more of those things later, but let's pray, shall we? Let's commit our time to the Lord. So Father God, we come into this place and we join together, whether that be virtually by internet or whether in person, but we come because, Lord, we want to celebrate the beginning of this new year with you. Lord, we want to invite you into the heart of all that we do, not just this morning, but the rest of our lives too. So, Lord, as we gather, as we worship, as we listen to your word, Lord, as we just engage, Lord, may you take us, take our hearts, take our minds, take our bodies. Lord, we want to give this next year to you. And it starts, and it can start corporately here with each other. So, Lord, we give you this time. May we be a blessing to you, as we know you are already a blessing to us. So we pray these things and commit our time to you, Jesus, in your lovely name. Amen. 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 Just a few announcements, if I could. It is communion today, as you can see. And for those of you who have not brought your own, I think there's one or two spares over around. But if you're at home, that is definitely something you might want to just go and grab a piece of bread or a cracker or fruit juice or even a wine, you know, which you can use later. But do that if you could. This week is beginning of the new year, is our prayer time. And so we have got prayer this week, and it's good to start the new year in prayer, is it not? And that will be from 7 o'clock on Zoom, and you'll be sent a link if you've not already had it. An advance notice for Emmanuel folk, and that is our next church meeting is coming up in a couple of weeks on the Tuesday the 19th of January. So we'll be sending out information about that in due course. And of course, where we physically can't have coffee together, you can nip home and then you can join on a Zoom coffee time together. And those of you already at home, of course, you can brew up all the way through the service. It's good from our point of view. But it is an opportunity where we can just catch and chat and catch up together. The Zoom code, if you haven't got that, just leave a note in the comments and we'll make sure that you get it. Okay, we're here to worship and we're to give the Lord our worship. Of course, I need to remind you, please do not sing, but you can hum into your masks, okay? But I'm going to hand over to Alison and the team who are going to lead us. Bless you.
Like who breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order, who makes the orphan a son and daughter, the King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of his brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. That you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Thank you, team. Fantastic. You know, one of the things over the last few months, we've certainly been getting lots of comments on through Facebook, is, whoa, Rich, how do you think of all your ideas for these kids' spots? They're brilliant. And in fact, I think they've superseded the preach, actually. But there you go. But who knows what we've got today. But Rich is going to show us something. It looks deadly to me.
Well, hopefully not deadly. It'd be nice to survive the first Sunday of the new year. But thank you very much for that lovely introduction. And it's really lovely to see a lot of our life groups here and know that people are watching back home as well, which is really good. Hopefully, boys, you're being good for mummy today, which is really nice, because I've brought in... can everyone see? Sorry, I'm probably in the wrong place for most of you, but I'm fine for you at home. But I've brought in here some nails. We're not going to do juggling or throwing or anything like that. We're going to do something bit more tricky but less dangerous, which is sometimes in life it can feel like we've got a lot of things to balance at once, particularly the first week of January, because we all feel this pressure to come up with a New Year's resolution, which is a habit you have for the first 3 days of the new year, I think, but to come up with some great big thing about, there's something in my life I want to change for the better. And maybe if you haven't come up with a New Year's resolution, you could talk to friends or family and they could probably suggest one for you. But lots of people have come up with things like, I don't know, wanting to maybe work a bit harder at school for the children. And so they think, right, well, I can balance that. And they think, well, maybe I need to be a bit nicer to my brother or sister. I'm going to put that on top of there. And no, that doesn't work. So I'll forget about school and I'll just be nice to my brother and sister. Okay, and then you kind of think, well, oh no, I've got to do my trombone practice, so I'll balance that on there as well. And before you know it, you've got all of these ideas of things that you want to do, and my youth minister keeps saying I need to read 15 minutes of my Bible and try and understand it, and I can't do all of it at once. And I've got a New Year's resolution, which I've taken from Jesus, which is always a good one, because he says instead of trying to balance lots of things and worry about lots of things in life, instead of worrying about what we're going to eat, what we're going to do for a job, what we're going to do tomorrow, what we're going to do for work, how we're going to look after friends and family, he said, don't worry about those things. Instead, I want you to seek the kingdom of God. Now, what does that mean when you're five to seek the kingdom of God? It means trying to live now as if God's really here with us. It means wanting to see things get better at our school, where we live, in our town, in our families. It means trying to make earth a little bit more like heaven where God is king. So I've got 12 nails here, and hopefully this is a good example of seeking first the kingdom of God. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to this is seeking God's kingdom. I'm going to put that there. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to put down about being a good husband and a good dad and trying to be a good youth minister and trying to do remote remix videos with the young people and not eating all the kids' chocolate when they're not looking from their advent calendars and crowns and things like that, and, you know, washing regularly and maybe having a shave every now and again and all the other responsibilities that we have in life, and looking after the rabbit, and there's a mouse in our garage I need to try and catch, and there's all of these things here that I'm going to put down. Because instead of trying to balance them all on my own, if I seek God's kingdom first, what we should find is that we can do it. I'm really glad that worked. Now, it doesn't make those things easy. When we seek God's kingdom first, it doesn't mean that coronavirus goes away. It doesn't mean that actually doing the right thing becomes any easier. It doesn't mean that sometimes things aren't hard or painful. But what I've learned in being a Christian is when, and I don't always do it, but when I seek God's kingdoms first, the other things, they fall into place, and the things which aren't, you can cope with. But when I try and focus on all the other things which are good things, I can't do it on my own. So this year, as well as the verse for the year Mark's going to bring us, maybe for the young people, the thing which would excite me most is if we start to seek first God's kingdom. Okay. Now, if this falls apart and you hear a big clatter later in the sermon, this isn't actually Jesus. This is just an illustration. It doesn't mean it doesn't work, but hopefully that just helps us to understand that a little bit better. I'm going to hand over to Ali and the band, and we're going to sing a song about how wonderful God really is.
thank you, Lord, for your promise to us. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Lord, would you keep us focused this new year on you, on your kingdom, on your plans and your promises. Amen.
Thank you, team. Bless you. That's great. Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but wanting a happy new year, I think, has been made sharper this year, hasn't it? At the end of... here we go. Some things don't change from one year to another. Here we go. We're there. We're welcomed in 2021, and I wonder what your, on New Year's Eve, what were your hopes and dreams? What were they? Well, certainly for a better year than what 2020 was, I am sure. Many of the reviews which people, they've looked back, you know, the media and whatever, have all concluded, along with many of us, I am sure, that 2020 was probably a year that many of us just want to forget in many ways. It's not working, I'm afraid. I don't know what's going on. No. Anyway, but 20, it was a year we were wanting to forget. Full of struggles, full of difficulties, with many things. Besides, of course, the virus and all the restrictions which have come with that, which unfortunately, of course, are still going on. The fact that we've moved into another tier, higher tier, is going to go on for weeks, if not months, at the moment. But let's hope we are on the verge of a change. That would be really good, wouldn't it? But we do need to keep praying for our hospitals and the whole system, that we'll be able to handle it and cope with all those infections. But these are really hard and difficult times that we're living in, aren't they? I think for many who are older and had a taster of the Second World War, some of them are saying, you know, it's not quite as severe in some ways, but it's the difficulties are there. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. yes. So I took that picture because, I used that picture because it's got a line through 2020. And it seems to have got a bit cloudy, doesn't it? And I thought it represented it really well, those difficulties, those struggles. But in these hard times, how are we going to get through? How are we going to move forward in these tough times? What's going to be the foundation, even the motivation for our lives? As the world seems to be turning into an increasingly difficult place to live. And that's virus on top of other things. They're already there, but it seems to have brought it to the surface. But how are we going to, where are we going to dig in for that sort of extra help, that need? Where, you know, the future, what's it going to look like for us? Is it going to be like this for the rest of our lives? We just don't know. Where does humanity turn even for that inner strength, for that resolve, for that sense of purpose and hope? Of course, there are many things that people search for, and they do search. They search for things to provide that deep-rooted satisfaction to their needs, to give them something to hang their lives upon, and a lot more. Some will search for the whole of their lives, in fact, in some instances. But ultimately, we need something that doesn't or won't change, don't we? No matter what's going on in or around us in the world, no matter how virulent or variant a virus may become, no matter how hard our personal circumstances seem to become, whether that be virus-related or not. But we need something immovable, something strong, something unchanging, something solid that we can anchor and build our lives upon. So that's why we've chosen our verse for the year. You, if you're a member of the church, you would have received this card from us just before Christmas, I hope. Looking for some nods, yes? Brilliant. The system did work. but this, we've chosen this as a reminder to all of us, yes, minister and leadership too, that the something we all need is actually a someone. A someone. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. This is about a personal God and a personal relationship with him. And Isaiah, in chapter 26, verse 4, this is where it comes from, it sums it all up. Now, I don't know whether you sense reading that and allowing that to sink into your mind, into your heart, and into your spirit. Does that fill you with a sense of security and solid dependency and assurance? It depends how real, I suppose, it is for us, doesn't it? It's sometimes not as easy to hang on to a verse like this and believe in a verse like this. But what does it actually mean? I suppose it shouldn't really surprise us to realize that God, the creator, the giver, and the sustainer of life, knows exactly what humanity needs. He made us. He's therefore provided everything we need in order to survive. He always has and always will. Hear that? Right from the very beginning, he knew. He alone, let alone all the messed up and the pandemic-stricken world in which we live here in the 21st century at this point. But I doubt whether this is going to be the only crisis humanity is going to get over. It hasn't been historically, and it's not going to be in the future. So how are we going to hang on to this? Because God is that rock. He understands life and in it all its dynamics. He always has and he always will. He sees mankind's fragility, the brokenness and the unpredictability of life, all its struggles and its battles, the changing and the self-destructive nature of humanity even, when we ignore him. Therefore, he knows what humanity requires to see life through, to get through, and to experience life as he designed it to be, with all its ups and its downs, with all its complexities and its struggles. He always has, and he always will. He always has, and he always will. He's the very essence of what mankind requires. Yes? And so this verse, we believe, is particularly pertinent in these times and for this year ahead, because it encapsulates that stability, that solidness, that strength that we all need, that pivotal security. Whether we admit it or not, we need something like that. And that image of the rock, and you know, I searched so many pictures to think, how can I represent this? It falls short, but it's a pretty good picture of a rock, isn't it? But that rock image, we understand something, but this is an eternal rock we're talking about. An ongoing, unchanging nature of a rock. Just seems to, it just ticks the box for me of what we all want. But trying to grasp these sort of concepts is not easy. It's like trying to explain to someone else about something that you've experienced, but they haven't. For example, what a certain food tastes like. How can you explain what food tastes like to someone else? I suppose if it's a curry, you could say, well, the first, you know, if it's got too many chilies in or curry powder in it, you say, oh, it blows your mouth off, you know, or something. But it's difficult to explain, isn't it? Or what it's like to visit a certain place. You remember going on holiday and visiting? It will come back. It will come back. Honest. It will return. These sorts of things are hard to explain to someone else. But what you can do is you can have a go at describing them from where you are, like the flavors, like I've just said, or the ingredients in the case of a food, or the type of people, or the buildings, or the surroundings of a place you've been. And this is a shot of from where we stayed over the New Year. Beautiful. This is Devon. But I can tell you, until you taste the food yourself, until you go and experience it yourself, it's just a concept. It's just an idea. It's just a description. And it's not easy. And the same goes for God in some ways too. Okay. Don't advance it. It's okay. Trying to describe what it's like to know him and trust him in this solid and dependable way is really difficult. When somebody's got no idea, no understanding, and when we're trying to share our faith, it's hard. It's not easy. Because we know him and we have an assurance and a stability in a personal relationship, which is beyond a concept. And ultimately, we have to trust that God will bring that revelation of himself by the Holy Spirit. That's how we found out, wasn't it? We might have been attracted by what we saw in others and what we heard, but it was God himself who brought that revelation. And God can and God does and will use you in that process. But when you think about it, trying to describe God, the Creator, without using those natural earthly illustrations is really hard. In many ways, they fall so short. They're inadequate. But, you know, the Bible is full of them. The inspired writers of the Bible did it amazingly well, because I think that was God revealing it to them. The psalmists, for instance, speak of life from a human perspective and then draw comparisons about God, perhaps about his love or his abilities or his power or his position. And there's all sorts of images. And I've just plucked a couple. Psalm 90, for instance, verses 4 through to 6. For you, God, 1,000 years are as a passing day. Now, we all sat there, some of you may have done, some of you may have been snoring already at that point, but we sat there and we watched the clock tick from, you know, before 12 to after 12 to see the new year through. Now, that for us is time. We work around time and it's limited. But 1,000 years are as a passing day to God. As brief as a few night hours, it says. He goes on to say, you sweep people away like dreams that disappear. You feel really into a dream, don't you, in the middle of the night, but then it just disappears in the morning. You can't remember it. You're trying to relate it, which is good in Jen's case, I have to say. But they are like grass that springs up in the morning. In the morning it blooms and flourishes, but by evening it's dry and withered. And you can understand something of the analogy which the psalmist is doing. Into Psalm 91, one really lovely psalm which has meant a lot to a lot of people in these days. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God. I trust in him. We all want shelter. How important it is, especially when it's as cold as it is and the rain and the wind. We need shelter. We need somewhere to sort of have a refuge. We all know what physically that's like. Here we have an analogy, a powerful analogy of God in that place. And you know, the prophets did it too. Not only this one here in Isaiah 26, but Isaiah 40, for instance. Verse 31, another very well-known verses. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. Whoa. Fancy that? Bit scary, perhaps, because the height they go to and they catch those thermals. But I tell you, to soar effortlessly, in other words, be carried on the warmth of the air, just to a tweak of the feathers at the end. It's just awesome. But that's what God wants us to live like. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. These are physical things which we experience, but they're trying to put God into that to help us catch something. And you know, even Jesus used everyday situations and stories to express what God can do. And how he meets the expectations of mankind. And one, linking with our verse that comes from, has rocks in mind, was Matthew chapter 7, 24, 26. We usually hear this in Sunday school, don't we? Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. Bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rain and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. And so all these are illustrations about our verse for the year. If we're talking about an eternal rock, it's something which we know is so important. Build a house without foundations, it will fall. And we've got illustrations of that. When you've built your sandcastles on the beach here in Swanage, you know that once the tide comes in and the waves hit it, it disintegrates. It's not easy for us to see the purposes of God in the life which we're living. As we go through life, we might reflect on it afterwards and we might see something. But much harder in the midst of it, isn't it? And this is where the importance of a rock and having a solid faith comes in. Because the purposes of God are discovered in the journey as we walk. As we walk and we follow him. As we trust him. As our verse says, on that journey of faith, with all its ups and downs, that journey, in fact, becomes the destination. It's in the trusting. Because our destination, our calling, is to know him. To trust in the Lord. Always. He is our destination. It's not a place where we're going to end up. Although that's a bonus in one sense. Because that means we're going to be from the out of this body and its limitations. But we're going to be with him in person. In eternity or heaven. But I've always seen heaven. It's not so much a place, it's where God is. It's where God is. It's where God resides. And we can have a taste of heaven here on earth. Jesus taught us that prayer, didn't he? About seeing heaven on earth. Wow. Can that be? Yeah, it can. Because it's about our relationship. It's about having the solidity and the foundation of the rock, which is God. Throughout our whole journey, he then becomes our destination. Then if you get a jigsaw for Christmas. Yeah, got a few hands. Yeah. The picture on the box gives you an idea of what you're working towards. But you have to find the pieces and put it together from all the various bits yourself. And in order to eventually see the picture completed. But when you look at the process, it can look a bit of a mess. In fact, it looks a lot of a mess. Because you've got pieces all over. And they're all in the wrong place. They're all upside down. Or they've got just bare cardboard. Some have got bits of picture. And even when you pick up a bit of picture, you're thinking, where on earth does that fit? And it takes time. Until they all get put together in their rightful place. But that, in fact, is what you're concentrating on. You're concentrating on the journey of making the picture come together, of pulling it all together. Once you have a look at it, you think, oh, that's nice. And you might rub your hand over it a couple of times and think, and then you break it up. So the focus has been on making the picture come together. It's the journey. It's the relationship. And going back to that opening time-lapse video, of someone putting together that lion picture. You know, that's what God is doing to us. He's pulling us together. And whatever it is, even though we can't see the individual pieces at this point of why we're going through this, why that is happening to us, God is starting to pull it all together. He's making his picture. And is it a picture of you? No. It's a picture of him. It's a picture of him. Because he's called us to be like him. To reflect him. And that's what God is building in us. He wants us to trust him so that he will then build the image of himself within us. It's already there. It's dormant within all of us. But actually what we need to do is allow that image to come to the surface. And the more we obey, the more we trust, the more we have faith in this solid, eternal rock, then the more this image will be built within us. You might not think it, but other people will see it. And God sees the change. But it is the journey. which is the important thing. He's building his character within us. And that's important, isn't it? To trust that he really is God and he has a purpose for our lives. So as we consider this new year ahead, with all the unknowns, probably more unknowns this year than we've ever had at the turn of a year, it's really interesting. It rocks me. I'm thinking, I need some pivots. I find it really difficult. And yet, God says, will you trust me? Will you trust me in everything? Trust in the Lord always. Always. Whether you can see the road ahead or not. Whether you know what's going to happen or not. Trust in the Lord always. For the Lord God is the eternal rock. Solid. Dependable. He will not let us down. None of us. We place our trust in him. In all situations, no matter what we're going to be facing, it's about keeping our eyes on him, making him our number one priority. He will see us through. He's a God of love. He loves each and every one of us. Even if you don't know him and you're watching this video, well, why not give God a chance in 21? Why not? What have you got to lose? It can't be anything worse in one sense than what we've currently got. Give God the chance. Give him that opportunity. He will see us through. Amen? Amen. Let's pray, shall we? So, Lord, at the start of this new year, we place our trust in you. Through all that Jesus has done and won for us, we place our lives into your hands, O God. You are our rock. You are the one, the only eternal God. You are the one who we can rely upon. You are the one we know will see us through, no matter what we may face, no matter what is ahead of us. So, Lord, we come now and we ask that, Lord, you would take us as we offer ourselves to you. Come and fill us with that strength, that knowledge of your presence as we surrender into your loving and capable hands. Remind us that you're always there. You're always with us. Always with us. Be with all those, especially who are struggling in these days at this very time, for whatever reason. Lord, grant them your peace. Grant them your comfort. And that trusting in you will see them through. And for all of us, Lord, that we'll all trust you. We'll trust you to create that bigger picture of your very person, your character within us. Make us more and more like Jesus, we pray, this year. Because we ask this, O Lord God, for your glory and for the honor of God in our lives and in this place where you've put us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song which is going to help us as we approach communion. So if you want to gather your bits and bobs, your wine and your bread, this is the moment to do it as we sing. Thank you.
Strong and perfect plea, a great high priest.
Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within. Upwards I look and see him there, who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. What with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased with his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Saviour and my God, with Christ my Saviour and my God.
So as we come to communion, it's that steadfast rock that is God who invites you. He invites us all to come. Come to this table not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little, and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, the Lord God, the eternal rock, for we are his body. Let's spend just a moment or two in silence as we prepare ourselves, recognizing that we fall very short. God knows, and that's why he's brought us to this place to remember who Jesus was and what he came to do. Let's now share in this prayer of confession together and pray these words. Heavenly Father, I confess my sins to you, the sins of the past and of the present, those hidden and forgotten, as well as those remembered. My sins of thought and desire, of word, of deed, and of omission. The sins that I am too dull of heart to see. The sins that others can see and I cannot. The sins known to you alone. I am sorry for all of them. I ask you to forgive me through the merit of Jesus, my Saviour. Please renew your life in me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to take your bread, let's remember of the immense sacrifice which Christ made so that you and I could know this eternal God. And all those things which rush through your mind and you think, I'm not good enough. This is a reminder that you know you're not, but Christ is. And he can win your hearts, and he wants to win your hearts back. Let's give thanks. Father, thank you for the simplicity of this ordinary bread, but for the power of the image and the reminder that it sets us free. That, Lord, this represents your wonderful sacrifice, your death on the cross, you giving up your life so that we might receive life, that we might know forgiveness, and we might be restored into that relationship with you, the eternal God. Thank you, Lord. As we take this, may it be a sign of that which happens within our hearts as we give of ourselves back to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's eat together. Thank you, Lord. And if you take your wine, it doesn't matter what container it's in, your juice. But this is a reminder of God's blood poured out so that you and I might be cleansed, set free, given another opportunity. And this is that symbol of God's cleansing, of God's restoration. And it's not, of course, just when we take communion. We all know it can be moment by moment. When you slip up, his blood is still there. It's an agreement paid by Christ's blood. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the symbolism of this wine, this juice, of all that you gave for us, your very lifeblood, spilt for us. Thank you that it's a sign of eternal cleansing through the blood of Christ. Lord, fill us with that life, the life of God, for this year ahead. We thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Let's drink together. That which we do, of course, we do only for a short period until Christ returns or calls us home. And I was reminded of this wonderful verse in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. It's the journey, isn't it? And it starts on our knees as we surrender. I'd like us just to, again, take a few minutes now in silence. We haven't got any formal prayers, but I'd like us to bring our broken world to God. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of struggles, not just with the virus, but other things too. I'd like us just to take 2 or 3 minutes. It will put us a little bit over 11, but I think it's important in the light of what we've just been thinking about and what we've just remembered. So in your own heart and in your own mind, the things, bring those things to God. Let's pray for his grace and his mercy to fall again upon this world. Lord, when you came, which we only celebrated a week or so ago, you came into a broken world then. And Lord, we ask that you would come again through us or through other means, but Lord, that you would intervene again into the brokenness of our world today. Because Lord God, this world needs you. It needs to know that rock we've been thinking about. It needs to have something which at the moment it doesn't have. So Lord, for the many who are searching, may they find you. For the many who are hurting, may you be the God who heals. For the many who are lost, Lord, find them. Lord, for those who are just struggling with life as it stands at this time, be the God of peace and comfort, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a song which encapsulates this beautifully, holy overshadowing, as we draw our service towards a close. Thanks, Hannah. You are the living.
hard to bear. Only the easy load you bid me wear. Until these troubles pass, my heart will sing. Praise for the holy overshadowing underneath your wings. Overshadowing. You are my shield.
Such a beautiful song, isn't it? Let's go into 2021 with that promise, knowing that. I'm now going to invite you all to stand, if you would, please, whether you're at home or here. And we're going to say the grace together. We haven't had much opportunity to do this in lots of ways, not corporately. But let's have the beginning of 2021. Let's share the grace together. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for coming. And let's make 2021 a year when we stand and trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is our eternal rock. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Thank you.